The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is this child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told King Herod, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And in Bethlehem and the land of Judea are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So how was your Christmas this year? Mine was different. It was enjoyable. It was event-filled. Some might say it was magical. But nevertheless, Christmas was different. When we started Advent together, I offered you a challenge, a suggestion. My hope was that this would be a Christmas of spiritual blessing. Not just a Christmas of crowded stores, not just a Christmas of office parties, not just a Christmas of carols on the radio, not just a Christmas of gluttony eating, but also a Christmas of spiritual growth. That we would take time in our lives to repair our hearts, to repair ourselves for the coming of God's Son, Jesus Christ. We had devotional booklets. We had healing services. We had prayer groups. We had sermons. We had worship. All, in a sense, to bolster our spiritual journey towards Christmas. Lily and I did something a little different this year. We decided to basically eschew presents. Like many couples, the giving of presents kind of takes on a life of its own. I know I start shopping in the store, I start thinking of all the lovely things I want to buy my wife, all the things she should have that she wouldn't buy for herself, all the things that I want to give her, things that smell nice, things that sparkle, things that look nice, things that come in boxes and things that come in bags, you name it. As a husband, I feel compelled. I want to give these things to my wife. And I find myself spending too much. Laura Lee told me she does the same thing. She wanders the store, the aisles of the hardware stores and electronic stores, thinking, what can I buy for my husband? And at the end, the tree is filled with presents, and we get a bunch of stuff, but we didn't really ask for any of it. And then come January, we get the credit card bill, and we certainly didn't ask for that. So this year, Lori and I said, let's not do that. We are so wonderfully blessed by God. We have healthy children. We have the love of our marriage. We have safety, we have security, we have an abiding faith, we have you that we celebrate with, we have a knowledge of the gospel. Let's not burden ourselves with worrying about gifts. Insubstantial things that we are told by a date in the calendar and the songs on the radio and the ads that fill our mailbox that we have to buy. So this Christmas, we didn't really buy gifts. But we had a few gifts because we want to be with the children. So we decided we'd just buy ourselves gifts, things we needed anyways. So I got some new sweat socks and razor blades. Laura Lee got shampoo and one of those squinchy things you put soap in, you know. I'm not sure what they're called. And we wrapped them up really nice and we celebrated Christmas. And it was a great Christmas. It was a love-filled Christmas. It was a joy-filled Christmas. It was a Christmas spent with you on Christmas Eve. It was a Christmas spent with the blessing of my family Christmas morning. It was a Christmas spent with our extended family in the coming days. And it was great. And it lacked for nothing. And it was sufficient in what it was. Because it was about us, our love for Christ, for one another, and the life that we share with you. And for me, that was really a moving experience. Because I've been indoctrinated in this Western culture that we show appreciation, we show affection, we show love by gift giving. After all, we have the so-called three wise men today in our gospel reading bringing Jesus gifts. The gift of gold, of frankincense, of myrrh. So under our tree, we place our gold and our fragrances and our gifts to give to one another. There's lots of parts about the Christmas tradition that I love. As human beings, we love traditions because traditions are comfortable. Traditions bind us together. Traditions create an unspoken language about here's how we do things. Here's who we are as a people. Here is what we value. Here is what we treasure. Here is what makes us a society. And so we love traditions. I love the Christmas traditions of church on Christmas Eve. Singing the carols that get put away for the other 11 months a year. The optimism in the air. The full church, maybe for one day a year. Holidays, time spent with family. I love the food. One thing I don't love about the Christmas tradition is the taking down of the Christmas tree. On Wednesday, Lori and I went down to the basement, brought up all our old cardboard boxes, and spent hours meticulously putting each fragile ornament. Now, if I designed Christmas ornaments, they'd be made like of steel ball bearings. But that is not the case of Hallmark. I'm taking each fragile ornament and putting them carefully back in their fragile ornament box. And then putting that box back into another box. And so on and so on. And this took hours and hours. Lights are in knots. Balls need to be put away. Plastic tree stuffed in a box. Stuck in the attic. And once we had it all done, we sat down on the couch and saw this big, sad-looking spot where the tree used to be. My wife and I looked at each other and said, well, things are back to normal. And we breathed a sigh of relief. Things are back to normal. That's a little troubling. Because I'm not sure if normal is very good. Our world lives in a state of normal. It is a normal with war and disease and poverty, a world of injustice, a normal that's hard to make sense of, a normal that we want to escape from with tradition and safety and lottery winning and vacation. But make no mistake, when the tree is down and the spot on the floor is bare, we return to normal. The school holidays are over, we're back to work, the family and friends have left, the leftover turkey has been eaten, the presents are open, the boxes are thrown away, and life has resumed normal. but as normal good. Today's gospel reading says normal is not good. Today in the church we celebrate what's called the Epiphany of our Lord. The word epiphany means to illuminate something, to make something known by having a bright light shine on it. Today's epiphany is that Christ is the Messiah. Here we hear Herod say, "Where will this Messiah be born?" And Herod doesn't know, because Herod is a puppet king set up by the Romans. He's not a Jew. He doesn't know the Old Testament. He doesn't know the prophet Isaiah. He doesn't know where this Messiah is to be born, this leader, this shepherd of the Hebrews. So he calls in the chief priests and the Pharisees and the religious leaders and the educated ones and says, "Well, where will this leader be born?" And they say, "Well, in Bethlehem." So he thinks, "Well, we have to kill the leader because I'm the leader. And there can only be one leader." This is a dark world. This is a world of death. This is a world of chaos. This is a world of corrupting power. This is our normal world. Herod wants to maintain what he has. And in order for him to maintain what he has, his grip on the land, his grip on the people, he needs to kill, even if being an infant, anything that threatens his power, anything that threatens his life. The Gospel of John gives us a Christmas story. The Gospel of John doesn't give us the Christmas story of Matthew or Luke. It doesn't give us a Christmas story of mangers and shepherds and angels and stars, a heavenly company. No. The Gospel of John gives us a Christmas story that says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the light of all people. And there was darkness in the world. And the light came to defeat the darkness. And the darkness wanted to defeat the light, but the light overcame the darkness." Christ is the light. It is the epiphany of our existence, of our reality, of who we are. Christ tells us that normal is not good enough. Christ tells us this world, its structures and its mechanisms and its leadership and everything that we hold, that we think holds us together and binds us together and provides for us, is actually darkness. Because these things are of humans. My life benefits because someone suffers. My family increases because someone else decreases. We know this deep inside. We live in a world of finite resources. There's only so much food. There's only so much gasoline. There's only so many doctors. There's only so much health care. There's only so much clean drinking water. There's only so much arable land. We know this in the core of our beings. The world cannot live like us. Everybody cannot eat steak every night. Everybody cannot drive a car. Everybody cannot have access to antibiotics, to surgeons, to teachers, to clean water. It can't be sustained. If the 8 billion people in this world tried to live a life just like us, it would fall apart. We benefit from the normalcy of the world. We benefit from the darkness of the world. This is why when we come together before worship and we say to one another, "We are in bondage to sin and we cannot free ourselves," we mean it. The idea of sin is not just a construct of the personal reality that we think the wrong things or say the wrong things or do the wrong things, that somehow we can clean up our acts and be a little better. The reality of sin is that our world is permeated by it. Our governments, our corporations, our institutions, yes, our churches, and the list can go on and on and on. But Christ is the light that comes and shines into that darkness. That is a light that's supposed to tell us normal is not good enough. Because the minute we think normal is good enough, we give up. We put our feet up on the easy chair and we say, good. We're content. We're happy. And then we quit striving to be God's people. We stop working for peace and justice. We stop trying to manifest the fruits of the Spirit, hope and love, charity, self-control, stewardship. Because we're happy. We're content. We're cocooned. We're lethargic. We're not bothered. We're not worried. We're not concerned. Because we have our goodness. Like Herod sitting there in his kingdom wondering about this Messiah being born. As long as our lives aren't threatened, well, I don't really care what happens beyond that. The light of God comes in the world and says, this is not okay. We end our church services with words from the book of Numbers. This comes from the 6th chapter of Numbers. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons. And Aaron and his sons are the priests. They're the preachers, they're the caregivers, they're the people of God in the Hebrew community. Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the Israelites. So God's saying, you tell the priests, here's how you bless my people. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. So they shall put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. It's the light of God. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. That the Word became flesh. That the light of God challenged this world. And the world tried to kill it. The normalcy of the world tried to kill it. As we come now from this point of this infant baby Jesus, we are going to walk with Jesus and see all the times the world tries to make Christ stumble and make Christ give up and eventually try and kill Christ. And it's the best things of the world. Christ will be challenged, not by crackpots, not by Looney Tunes, not by crazies, but Christ will be challenged by the Pharisees and the priests, the religious leaders of Israel, trained in temple, in Torah, debaters. Christ will be challenged by them. Christ will be challenged by the Hebrew authorities. Christ will be challenged by the Roman authority. It is not a Mickey Mouse court that throws Christ in jail. It is not a Mickey Mouse court that has Christ beaten and whipped. It's not a Mickey Mouse court that hangs Christ on a cross. This is the best and the brightest that the world has to offer. This is the Roman Empire. And we see how wrong they are. There's darkness in our world. The Christmas tree might go down. The presents might get forgotten about. The turkey might be eaten. And we can say things are back to normal. But we should never assume that normal is good enough. We should never be pleased with normal. We should never accept cancer. We should never accept children dying of starvation. We should never accept women not being given access to education. The list can go on and on because this is the normalcy of our world. And if we say, okay, back to the grind, get on our hamster wheel of go to work, make supper, go to the hockey game, wash, rinse, and repeat, then we're accepting normal. And we're saying, it's okay. And the only time that we get concerned or worried is when our little piece of normal gets threatened. We're not really being the light of Christ in the world. We're not shining into darkness. We're saying, as long as things are good for me and mine, then that's good enough. That was part of my Christmas journey this year. Looking at Christ in the world and Christ in my life. And when it came to my life, I didn't always like what I saw in terms of my relationship with Christ. How is the light of Christ challenging me? How does the light of Christ challenge the darkness of my life? How do I benefit from evil? How do I benefit from oppression? How do I stand on the side of darkness? Because I do. If I am honest with my life and my bondage to sin, then I have to realize that I benefit because others suffer. That my family prospers because others do not. My eyes have been opened to this. Normal is not good enough. Normal should never be acceptable. As people of Christ who have been given a knowledge of heaven, who have seen the first fruits of God's creation, who have been promised something better, the minute that we settle for normal, we are turning our back on the promise and we stop hoping. We give up. We surrender to the darkness and we say, things are good enough. But if things were good enough, then we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. If things are good enough, then we wouldn't need the prophets. If things are good enough, then we wouldn't need God's holy word. If things were good enough, then we could save ourselves. The story of Jesus Christ is a story that tells us things are not good enough. That what you have is not sufficient in and of itself. Only God can make complete that which He created. And that is you and our creation. We cannot add to it. We cannot save it. We cannot multiply it. We can just take from it. We can hoard it. We can covet it. We can pervert it. But we cannot bless it. We cannot improve it. We cannot change it in a manifest way. What we have is what we have. Who we are is who we are. And the minute we say that's good enough is the minute as a society that we stop growing, that we stop moving, and that we quit becoming more fulfilled in the image of Christ. The epiphany of Jesus Christ is the epiphany of God revealing His light. And I pray in your life, I pray in my life, that God's light shines bright. That it shines brighter than the darkness. That it illuminates who we are. And it always prompts us to never say, normal is good enough. Amen.